Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Muskies Matters with Lakeland University head football coach Colin Bruton. Muskies Matters is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Lakeland coach questions about the Muskies, football or sports in general, or just seek the coach's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, the coach talks to us about the big game against Aurora this week. He tells us who he would like to spend one day as, and what emoji does the coach use the most. Let's find out on Muskies Matters.
Well, let's welcome you back to Muskies Matters. We welcome back Coach Bruton. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
Saturday is senior day, and we're really excited about that. We bring Aurora to town. They're going to be they are the conference champs in our league, so it's going to be a great challenge for us. And we get a wonderful opportunity to honor 12 seniors that have given a ton to our program. I've been a part of a couple conference championship teams, and kids that have been record breakers in our program, kids that have been multi-year starters, all conference players, and just a really special group of seniors. And we're excited about the opportunity to play hard for them, and hopefully send them out the right way.
Well, let's talk about this last Saturday's game, a close game against Benedictine. Your thoughts on the contest?
Yeah, it was another close game. We haven't done a very good job of closing out close games, and that's obviously going to be something that we have to fix going forward. We haven't, I think, in one-score games right now, we're 0-3 or 0-4, and that's disappointing. I didn't think we played with the right energy and the right focus on Saturday. I thought it was kind of the first game we've played all year where we weren't in contention anymore for the conference championship. And you could tell, I think, in our effort and our focus just wasn't quite there. And Benedict is a really good football team, and they made some plays late. But I just, especially defensively, I thought offensively we did a lot of good things. I thought defensively we just didn't play with the right energy, and that was really disappointing. So, another disappointing Saturday. We've had a couple in a row, and we got to break out of that and find a way to find that energy and find that focus for Saturday.
Logan O'Neill gets the start for you. I thought the senior played a pretty solid game, so your thoughts on his performance?
Yeah, I thought he was really good, and I have so much respect for Logan. Coming into this year, he had had season-ending knee injuries three straight years. It's been kind of hobbled by that. He just doesn't have the same mobility he had when he came in as a freshman. Was never a great athlete at the quarterback position, but was a solid athlete. And now his mobility is much more limited. He's more of a pocket guy, so it changed our offense a little bit, but just tremendous respect for the kid, the way he prepares every week, prepares like he's going to play. I thought he battled on Saturday, just battled and really played hard and played with a lot of passion. He's a little bit more natural thrower of the football than maybe Tez is at times, and I thought he did some good things in the passing game and has a really good mind for the game. So he sees things and reads coverages really well. And I just thought he played hard. I'm just really proud of him. I was happy he got the opportunity. Unfortunately, it happened because of an injury with Tez, but was really happy that he got the opportunity to play again. I thought he played well. He gave us a chance to win, and that's all we can ask for. And just really proud of him. I have tremendous respect for Logan, not just with that performance, but just in general, just the type of kid he is and what he's given to our program. So he's a special young man.
Is there anything you have to do to change the offense from when you have Logan in as comparison to Tez?
Yeah, it's different. We a lot of the read stuff, we do the RPO stuff for us. With Tez in the game, we're doing it a little bit more for Tez to be able to run. With Logan in the game, that's not really a great option for us, so we're doing a lot more RPO stuff to pass the ball. So it changes a little bit. It changes a little bit what we can do in the run game. Changes kind of some of our read keys and who we're reading and things like that. So they're two very different players. They're both very effective quarterbacks for us, but they're different. So it's going to be it's tough to it's tough sometimes. You're calling a different offense for sure. They both have the ability to get the ball to our playmakers. They both hand the ball off well to Larry and Jazz, so that's always a good option for us. But it's different for sure. I thought they both bring some strengths, and they both do some things well and some different things well.
Your players of the game?
Yeah. I thought offensively, Des Eddy again was really good. And you can just see as a senior, his competitiveness, his toughness, scored a couple times on runs. I think he averaged 8 yards a carry again, caught the ball well. Mason Prudick's a guy that's still doing a ton of good things for us week in and week out, and he's been really good. Unfortunately, we really struggled on Saturday in special teams, and we struggled considerably on defense. I don't know if we had a player of the game on that side of the ball. It was a pretty poor performance in those areas, and I think if you review the film and you talk to our guys, they would agree we didn't play well, and like I said, just didn't play with the right emotion and the right energy. So Our offense gave us a chance to win. I thought they did some good things, and we just didn't have that same effort on that side of the ball.
You mentioned this week you take on Aurora, who's going to be the conference champions of the league there. Your thoughts on this contest?
Yeah, they're a really good football team. They're one of the best teams we've seen in the MAC. In the 12 years of the MAC, they're one of the best teams we've seen. Incredibly explosive offensively. They're putting up huge, huge numbers. Their quarterback's putting up video game-type numbers, which is scary to see as a defensive coach coming in. And, defensively, they're really solid. They're strong on the special teams. So it's going to be a tremendous challenge. Coming in, going into the year, we really thought this game would be a conference championship game, and it's not working out that way for us. But it's still an opportunity for us to send our seniors out on the right note. It's an opportunity for us to finish the year on a really high note. We still have a chance to finish, third in the conference, which, in an 8-team conference is a strong finish, and that's important to us. And it's going to take a tremendous effort. We're going to have to be ready to play with the right energy and the right focus, and we're going to have to do it for 60 minutes because they're so explosive that any letdown could be a big play for them. So tremendous challenge, but it's exciting. Anytime you have these type of challenges, it should be exciting, and that's the way we're looking at it.
You talked a little bit about Gavin Simmelman having a ridiculous season for them at quarterback. What do you do to kind of slow him down?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to try to get pressure. We're going to have to try to, try to show him different looks. I don't think he's a guy. You can't just sit and play in one coverage or and try to slow him down. They have several really good receivers. The Maxwell kid, the transfer, is a senior. He's got 17 touchdowns. And Colton Jewell is a tight end. They move around. He's a big target. He's physical. So it's not like you can key on just one guy in the passing game. So we're going to have to mix up looks. We're going to have to find ways to get pressure. We're going to have to play some cover zero and bring some pressure. We'll play some zone looks. So I think just changing up, trying to make him uncomfortable with the looks that he's seeing is going to be key. And then we just have to play harder. I think if we play harder, we have the talent to slow down. We're not gonna shut down, but we can slow down for sure this offense. We just have to play harder than we've played the last couple weeks.
They've kind of rolled through this conference, but had a very tough, narrow victory over Benedictine a couple weeks ago. Were there things in that contest that you saw that you feel like you can implement to be able to defeat them?
Yeah, I think Benedictine played them tough. Early in the year, CUW got beat 24-7, but they played them tough. That game was 7-7 in the second half. And from a defensive standpoint, you can't allow the big plays. They feast on these big downfield threats, and we have to tackle well. Both those teams tackled very well, and CUW did a good job of getting pressure, and Benedictine got some pressure as well and turned them over a few times. So I think it's just changing looks, and it's trying to keep the ball in front of you defensively. And I think their offense, the other part that gets overlooked a little bit is, they have a tremendous running game, and Ty Bailey, their tailback, is an all-conference player, and he might be their most dangerous weapon, and he gets overshadowed a little bit. I think, slowing down their run game is going to be key. There's some things, our offense that we feel like we can attack against their defense, and we're going to have to do so. We're going to have to score points this game. It's not going to be a game that we'll win, 21-14 or something like that. To win this game, we're going to have to score probably in the 30s at a minimum, and I think there's some opportunities for our offense as well.
This is a big rivalry game for you guys. What do you think it would mean to your team to end the 2019 season with a victory over your arch rivals?
Yeah, it'd be huge. We've played Aurora now for several years, late in the year. It's been the last game of the year sometimes, but it's been late in the year. And for probably the last 4 or 5 years, it's been, one of, if not the biggest game in the league. And we've had some really close wins. We lost last year in overtime. So it's a game that means a lot to our program. And just finishing the year strong, I think finishing on a win regardless of who you're playing is important. But this one takes on a little special meaning. And to be able to say we beat the conference champs, we did that last year, even though the year didn't finish the way we wanted. We beat Eureka, who won the league, and to be able to say we did it again will be important. It just brings some confidence to the off-season program for the kids coming back, and it certainly would mean a ton for the seniors and just for the program in general. So it's a big game for us, just it's a big game for them.
Your last game for your seniors, an evening game at home. What are your takeaways from this group?
Yeah, it's been a really good group. I think anytime you have a senior group, we have 12 seniors, and you think back to when they began as freshmen in 2016, we had, 40-plus freshmen that came in with this group, and there's 12 that are left still playing ball. And I think anytime you get through 4 years of being a college football player, that's a tremendous accomplishment, whether you were, a starter and a first-team all-league kid, like some of the guys we have, or a guy that's, played a smaller role. It's a tremendous accomplishment just to make it through. There's tremendous demands. There's injuries. There's a lot of days when going out and practicing for 2 hours and hearing Coach Bruton yell at you probably isn't what you want to do. And for those kids to stick it out means a lot. It's been a tremendously talented group. You know, we've had record breakers. You know, Des Eddy's the career rushing leader at Lakeland, which is a tremendous accomplishment. We've had four-year starters on the offensive line. We've had guys that have made huge impacts, and just really proud of this group and all they've accomplished, how hard they've played. You know, we've talked, I said that we were disappointed with the effort last week, and that was a generality. I thought our seniors played really hard. I thought our 12 seniors that were on the field really played hard, and I was really proud of them for that. And they've done so much for our program. They've been great kids in the off season. So it's just really proud. It's a bittersweet moment anytime you get to say goodbye to these guys. It's great to honor them and honor their families and their friends and the people that have supported them, and they deserve credit as well for the sacrifices they made. So it's great to honor them, and I'm looking forward to that. But it's also bittersweet to know that it's the last time we'll coach them.
What do you feel like has been their biggest takeaways from the program?
You know, you hope it's our core values. You know, we talk about being selfless. We talk about being competitive. We talk about being relentless and positive and passionate about what you're in. So we hope it's the core values, and I think those guys have modeled that really well. You know, we got guys that are they're relentless. You know, a kid like Logan O'Neill, like I said, who's gone through, you know, three knee injuries that were season ending, and decided he wants to play and continue to play, just shows, you know, just how relentless he is. And you know, we got guys that are really passionate about the program. They're passionate about other things in their life as well. And that's exciting to see. We got, you know, a senior class is really positive and it's come out every day and been positive, and we got guys that are competitive and honest and selfless, and you know, those are the things that we hope that when they leave our program, they're taking away, you know, the lessons they learned in the football field. They're going to help them in life, and that's really what it's about, is preparing these guys for life after this. This is going to be a great 4-year run in their life, or 4-year memory in their life, but it's going to be a lot more than this, and they're going to accomplish a ton more than just what they did on the football field for Muskie. So you know, you hope that's what they take away, and I think this senior group really did.
Well, we head to fan questions, and we first of all start with an email from a group of parents who sent this to me. It says, Coach, as the season comes to an end, we want to share our appreciation for the job you have done with our boys. They may not be conference champions in the NAC, but you have helped to make them champions in life. Thank you for your dedication to our boys.
Yeah, it's great to hear. You know, we got a great group of parents, and with how many players we have from out of state and really travel from a distance, you know, the parents that are sending their kids to us and trusting us with their sons is it really means a lot that they do that. Because of that, we don't have sometimes as much interaction with the parents. You know, we don't get quite as many parents that are able to travel to our games all the time, but you know, that's really what it's about. We got great coaches in our program that really care about the kids, and I'm blessed to work with them, and you know, that's what it's about, is just trying to help mold these young men into men as they leave here. And we got a great group of kids, and you know, I'm proud to say that I'm the coach.
Yeah, as many as you're bringing from that area, I would think a great neutral site game in Louisiana would be awesome.
I'm sure they would. I'm sure they would enjoy that. We'd be up for playing somebody if they want to play us.
Gary says, Coach, since this will be Des Eddy's last game, will you try to focus him more in the offense on Saturday?
You know, I think we're always trying to focus him. I don't know if we'll try to focus him anymore. You know, I'm always in favor of getting him as many touches as we can. So if he touches the football, I think that's a good play call by Coach Tresky. And you know, I think him and Larry, we've had a pretty good split. You know, Des has probably carried a little bit more recently than he did early in the year, and I think it's been a good thing for our offense, and he's really playing well. So we'll try to get him the ball. We're gonna try to get him the ball a bunch of different ways, and we're gonna try to get, you know, Larry Rivers the ball, and you know, we're gonna throw the ball some, and it's gonna be a balanced offense. But yeah, I think anytime Dev touches the ball, we're in pretty good shape. And you know, he wants to touch it, he wants to score, he wants to be involved, and we're gonna try to get it to him and make sure he's involved.
Francis says, would you like to see a more balanced offense next season, or are you content with a big power running game?
Yeah, you know, we run the ball really well, and I think, you know, if you go back a couple of years ago, and you know, 2017, you know, we threw the ball really well and ran it, you know, well, but not quite as well as we're doing right now. So I think it depends on our personnel. I just want to see us gain yards and score points, you know. So however that happens, if that happens, throwing it 60 times a game or running it 60 times a game, I'm fine with it, you know, as long as we're gaining yards and scoring points. I think right now we're in the top 10 in the country in offense, you know, so we've been really effective offensively. And you know, I think we have the ability to throw the ball a little bit more, and I think we'll get better in that area. And I think that's, you know, definitely something that we'll need to do at some point. You know, I think there's usually you'll play an opponent, whether you're a heavy run team or a heavy pass team, you'll play one opponent that really can start to slow that down or take that away, and you have to do the other thing, you know, at least once a year. And to beat those teams, you have to be a little more balanced. So I think we always strive for balance, but to me, it's more what are we doing offensively, what are the results? You know, if we can run the ball 80 times and gain 600 yards and score 50 points, I'm good with that. So it's a tough question to ask. I think the best offenses have some balance, but I think, you know, if you can be dominant in one area, that's okay too.
Andy says, Coach, I see you are not satisfied with the overall record of the team, but do you feel you have seen enough that you are confident that next year's team is a conference championship team?
I'm confident that next year's team has the opportunity to be a conference championship team. I don't know that. It's hard to tell. I think the league's going to be good again next year. There were some teams in the league that were young and that are going to be better, and I think we have to get better. There's some players in our program right now, some juniors and some sophomores, some freshmen that I think have the ability to make a big leap, and that's exciting. But until they do it, you know, it's all potential, and that's a dangerous word. I think we have the potential to be very good, but we have to do it, and we have to bring in another good recruiting class that can help us. We got to add more depth, like we talked about the last couple of weeks. So I think we're gonna be in the mix. You know, we've been in the mix every year, and I think we'll continue to be in the mix. But I think you know, our guys need to be ready to make that jump, and they need to put in the work to do it in the off season. And I'm confident that our group will be motivated to do so.
Sarah says, I don't know if anyone else noticed this, but after losses, you always seem kind of mad and down when the show starts, but seem to perk up answering these questions each week. It makes me feel like we are helping to make you feel better about life. Is that so?
This is the highlight of my week. When it's time I get to spend a half hour, 25 minutes with Rob, it's the highlight of my week. It's probably hopefully the highlight of your week listening to this crazy show. But, yeah, it's been good. You know, like I said, it's been enjoyable. It's been fun. And yeah, I think it's, like I said, it's the highlight of my week. It doesn't get any better than this.
I just want to say that that's the only person ever who will say the highlight of their week was talking to me. So I just want to throw that out right now. Don't even think my wife would say that. Tom says, a coaching question for you. It would seem to me that a 4-3 defense would mean that you would shut down the run better and get more pressure on the quarterback. Why do teams use a 3-4 then?
I think it's a lot more just the positional versatility. You know, if you're a 4-3, you're really a 4-2 these days. Nobody's really playing a true 4-3 anymore with how much spread you're seeing. One of those linebackers is outside the box. I think with a 3-4, you get a little bit more versatility with where you bring your pressure from. You know, it gives you a little bit more versatility to cover down some spread offenses and things like that. And, both can be effective. You know, I think there's teams that are running what they would call a 4-3, or there's teams that are running a 3-4, and really what you're talking about, though, is almost everybody now is in some sort of a nickel look where they're playing a fifth defensive back. So that linebacker, that Sam linebacker is really a hybrid kid. He's kind of half safety, half linebacker. He's a run support player sometimes, but he's playing in space and those type things. So I think that's where you see the evolution of it. I think with more spread offenses, you want to have more of those hybrid kids on the field. You want to have more of those safety-type bodies that can do different things in space, because that's really where the game's being played. It's being played in space. But I think, you know, obviously as a defense, it hasn't changed that. Tom's right. You need to be able to stop the run to be an effective defense. And when you do stop the run, you open up a lot of other things defensively, and you can play more coverage. You can bring more pressure in the pass game and things like that. So I think a lot of it depends on personnel. You know, for us, at times it's really hard to recruit big physical defensive linemen. So our defensive linemen end up being kind of hybrid defensive linemen. They're kids that were converted linebackers or things like that. And some of it just comes down to the personnel you have in your roster and trying to get your best 11 on the field.
Next up is Jeff, who would like to know, does it bother you more how well the Packers are doing or how poorly the Bears are doing?
Both. That's probably the easy answer. Probably how poorly the Bears are doing would be the biggest bother. Especially with the expectations they had coming into the year and all that kind of stuff. But it certainly doesn't help that the Packers are doing well and how obnoxious Packer fans can be. So it has not been a good combination. And, you know, I know as we get to the holidays and we'll be spending time with Brenda's family, who are all big Packers fans, I'm sure that there'll be a few comments and just hearing it around campus. You know, there's a lot of Packer fans and they're you know, Like I said before, I think they get granted a Packers jersey at birth or something like that, because they all have a Packers jersey and they're wearing it every time they win. And when they lose, it seems like everybody forgot their Packers jersey. But they can be a little obnoxious. So it's not good either way, but I'd probably say it's worse if the Bears are doing poorly.
Phil says, if you could spend one day as someone else, who would be in your top five for people you would like to be for a day?
Oh, probably Rob Pinier, number one.
Oh, good Lord.
That would probably be it. That's a tough question. You know, I don't know that there's a ton of people. You know, I enjoy my life, and you know, I'd probably be okay doing that. You know, I don't think it'd be awful to spend a day with, you know, as someone who maybe has a little bit more money than a Division III football coach makes, and maybe spend a day on the private yacht that somebody has or something like that. That would be okay with me. But I don't really desire to have a much different life. You know, I'd miss my kids, I'd miss my wife, and I think if you spend too much time trying to live like somebody else, that's a bad thing. So outside of Rob Pinier, there's I don't know if I have a great answer here. But I think for one day, you know, living a life of luxury and living somewhere where you might get pampered, that would be okay with that for a day.
Dan would like to know, is flirting with other girls when you are in a committed relationship acceptable?
No. No, period. No other response. Not acceptable.
Brian says, I have a good reason for asking, so I would like some advice. What is the acceptable duration of time to hug or shake hands with someone you have only known a short time?
I mean, 2 to 3 seconds, maybe? I'm trying to... I'm in my office, you know, mimicking a handshake right now, and I think about 2 to 3 seconds seems to be the appropriate amount of time. Anything more than that, that's getting a little weird. You know, particularly the hug, I guess, with somebody you don't know well. So I'm going to say 2 to 3 seconds. If there's anything more than that, I guess I need more of an explanation here from Brian to see what this is all about. But I'm going to go 2 to 3 seconds seems appropriate.
Yeah, I think it's the people that don't want to let go of your hand that are the most bothersome.
It's a little weird, right?
Nate says there's a lot of talk about the benefits of CBD oils in treating sports injuries. Is that for real or just another way to get marijuana legalized?
You know, I would guess it's probably a little bit of both. I don't have a ton of knowledge about the CBD oil. We always joke that there's a family video in town that somehow there's still a family video that's, you know, renting movies, which seems insane at this day and age. So that's the first part. But Family Video has jumped into like the CBD oil game, and they're selling it at all their locations, which seems like a really odd. You know, you get a new release and you buy some CBD oil at the same place. Seems really odd to me. But you know, I don't know a ton about it. I know that there's people that use it that you know, really praise it. And with any of that stuff, I always wonder what's the placebo effect on it. What's the you know, what is it? Is it actually helping, or is it just the thought that it's helping? But I don't deny there may be some benefits, and I think there's, you know, a greater question about, you know, should marijuana be legalized? And I think there's a strong argument to be made that maybe it should be. But you know, that's a much larger discussion. But I think the people that are really pushing it, you know, for the CBD oil stuff, I think part of it is probably, you know, that slippery slope towards the legalization of marijuana, you know, nationwide or more widespread. So I think it's probably both. Like I said, I don't know anybody personally that uses the CBD oil, so I can't speak, you know, to their benefits in treating injuries or pain in general or anything like that. But I would guess it's probably a little bit of both.
We've returned back with Schmitty, who says, Coach, I'm trying to find some common ground here, and you keep dissing me. So deep dish, best pizza, best style pizza ever.
Amen, amen. I'm a deep dish pizza guy. Give me some Chicago style deep dish from Giordano's or Gino's East or a number of other places, and we're good. So we finally agree. Deep dish pizza.
Smitty, you're saved for the day. It sounds like.
Absolutely.
Ron would like to know, what emoji do you use the most?
You know, I probably use the thumbs up, or I'll use. You know, with my wife, we probably back and forth. The eye roll emoji is probably one that we use a lot. So yeah, I think that those are probably the two biggest ones. But you know, I tend to use some emojis in the text conversation. So I feel like that's me staying young, I guess, is trying to use emojis, trying to fit in with the kids. So yeah, those are probably the two though.
And why is it good to be a Muskie?
And it's another opportunity to play. It's a great I'm excited for Saturday. You know, it's a night game. It's an opportunity to really really honor our seniors, and we got 12 seniors that have been just great for our program. Like I said, and, great players on the field, great kids off the field, and they mean a lot to me. They mean a lot to the coaches, and I'm excited to honor them. And we'll honor them before the game, and hopefully we get an opportunity to honor them with how we play and how hard we play. And that's the expectation Saturday. And if that happens, it's going to be a great day to be in Muskie.
That's awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right, Rob. Appreciate you.
We want to thank Coach Bruton for joining us on Muskies Matters this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Lakeland coach, please send them to us at ColinBruton@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's ColinBruton@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Tuesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on the Muskies Matters.